The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by The Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Briggs.
Hey, I'm Doug.
And I'm a strong, independent black man, and I don't need no mana.
That's a lie.
Whoa. Okay, that's Trench 88 right there, Nerdy Show community manager.
You've been saying it wrong for years, Cap. The 88 is silent.
Oh.
It's like the O in possum.
Or the F in Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not, because it's a P. The P in pipe in Pfeiffer.
Sure.
That is true. I've only ever called him Trench. I've never called him Trench 88. How dare you, sir?
Indeed.
It's not my fault, you dumbass. Type those lumbers.
You have offended...
I said lumbers. It's a combination of letter and number.
You have offended my sensibilities.
And here we have...
We're going to have to chugle now.
we're going to chugle hard and all night. Adam Briggs from Ghostbusters Resurrection, guesting here on Nerdy Show.
Yeah.
First time on video, actually, for Nerdy Show.
Where I lambashed...
Doctor Who?
Doctor Who, yeah, thank you.
Oh, that's right,
right. Yeah.
I forgot about our early forays into podcast video.
Yeah, we really made the other side start to go, huh, at the end of that.
We made him think.
Yeah. I think all we had to do was block the three of them in a room, and then we would just listen in like, go, oh, they're killing each other in there.
What we did was we had an episode where a fan asked us to talk about Doctor Who, so we took that the extra mile and had all of our Whovians combined with those of us who were most... let's say not enthralled with the Good Doctor, and by the end of it, as Doug was kind of implying, it all turned inside out there.
Mm-hmm. we hammered it really hard.
Wibbly wobbly timely wimely. Is that did I do that right? Is that how it goes?
I believe that's 100% correct. Other, yes.
Okay.
What's everybody been up to? Especially you new bloods, not new on Trench's part, but been a while since you've been on the show. There's some big life shakeups for you.
Oh, you want to start with me?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so it's been about 3 weeks by this point. I quit my job at the funeral home, so I am no longer an undertaker. So sad.
It was so cool being an undertaker.
No, you can try it sometime.
It was so cool being the roommate of an undertaker, I think is what you're saying.
Well, yeah.
All those dead bodies just falling off the back of the truck all the time.
Falling off the back of the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been all over the news if that had actually happened.
It's a good thing I was there to collect them.
How's the human suit coming?
Human suit? We're not supposed to talk about that.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Completely derailed it, so please continue, Trench. So you're happy to have that behind
you. Yeah, since then I have started going to school using my GI Bill, and I'm going to college for currently just an associate's in general studies. Long term, I'm going to go to UCF for business management and marketing.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Learned man.
It's a transformation. And you're a student.
Metaphysical and metaphorical.
The student life is very different from the life of an undertaker.
Yeah.
Less dead bodies.
Or for
more,
one.
I guess. I don't know. It depends on what school you're going to. Maybe one for necromancy. If that.
Yeah, are you going to wizard school or just a regular
mage.
School?
I'm just going to Valencia. So just a regular school.
Wait. Okay, so, but Valencia, mythologically speaking, there's something about that. They have their crest has like antlers in it or something. There might be a wizard school underneath your community college. Have you checked?
I have not, but the East Campus is kind of weirdly shaped. So now I have to
into
look
a pentagram,
this,
maybe?
Possibly.
I'm particularly good at digging.
It's also a Valor gym.
So
you know something weird's going on.
Valor for now, Mystic soon.
Now I have to Google this and see. See what we got here.
I mean, like, if you need a digger, let me know. I'll dig.
Getting real into shoveling, huh?
I, my dad and I hand dug our own pool.
Your own pole.
There were poles involved at some point, you know, leveling shit. stuff, bananas. But no, yeah, we hand dug our own pool when I was a kid growing up. That took a bit, I think. A month and a half.
Well, what you been up to present day?
Who, me?
Yeah,
oh,
you.
I work almost nonstop.
So this is a rare treat then?
Yeah, no, like I have my, like I've had, I did the math, like 2 weeks ago was my first weekend off in 2 months.
Wow.
And then, because I was working 6-7 days straight, and even on the days that I worked 6-8 weeks, I was still basically working. And I have this weekend off too, and we finally got people at work trained, because we got rid of a few members at work, and we got some new guys in there that have now been trained up, and they're able to kind of take some of the workload off, so I am very, very thankful for that right now.
Yeah, sounds like you could use it.
Yeah, no, it's pretty great. Like, I got to sleep in, you know. And sleeping in for me now is like 10 o'clock, which is weird considering I want to sleep till like 3 p.m., but I can't do that anymore because my body is just so adjusted to waking up at like 6:30, 7 o'clock. I hate it. It's the worst thing.
But you've been playing a lot of Overwatch, though, in your spare time.
Yeah, no, I've got 200 hours plus ranked on it right now.
Wow.
It's just because like I go home and like I want to do something and go out, but I'm usually so wasted by the end of the day at work.
You mean exhausted drinking? And not, yeah.
No,
you know,
you're not weight, you're wasted.
Well, we are allowed to drink at work, actually. I don't drink because I am, yeah, we are allowed. Like, our boss brings in like whiskey.
Are you allowed to say
us.
What you do?
Yeah.
On the show?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell everybody what you do?
Oh, I work with Boar, for people that don't know. But he's an engineer while I'm a technician, and I fix the problems at the, and report them to the engineers. So I'm basically the direct line.
What kind of problems on what?
Oh, vehicles, cars, Mustangs, Camaros, Corvettes. Basically, you take our little device about the size of an iPhone, plug it in, you can get more power out of it, you know, air fuel ratios, you know, shenanigans like that. So if you want to talk about cars, it kind of makes me rock hard.
Two trucks having sex.
Yes, I'm in.
So I didn't know this, but the mascot for Valencia is a matador.
Oh, I did not see that coming, but I guess it's Valencia in España. See?
I can't find a thing about the origination of the name, but yeah, it
explains the horns,
I guess.
Let's see. Doug and I's fates have been kind of entwined the past week. Mm-hmm. We've had some major developments in our animated series, kind of Lightning Dogs. Mm-hmm. I say that because it's a project that if you're not familiar with it, you should go to lightningdogs.com, but it's a project that we are developing as an animated series. It's far from there yet, but some major visual developments that we'll be revealing soon. So keep an eye peeled for that. And then also we're finally about to record Star Wreck, our long commissioned fan role-playing episode. We were actually almost ready to do it back in February of this year, but had a ton of scheduling problems, and the summer is the biggest clusterfuck ever, so it didn't happen. But that's given Doug and I extra pre-production time, and we're really excited about it. We don't know when it's going to debut. We wanted to debut this fall. It's looking increasingly unlikely, but maybe early 2017, just because with these role-playing shows, we have...
You don't know how they're going to go.
Yeah, we don't know how they're going to go until we record them. Like, Call of Cthulhu, our last one-shot, you know, ended up being an 8-part miniseries because we had no idea how long it was going to run. We're hoping Star Wreck's going to be, like, 1 or 2 parts at most, but we'll have to find out. So we're gonna find out.
Also, Spider Simulator is crawling along wonderfully.
Wait, what's that?
That is a game.
Terror.
That is a game that we brainstormed on an episode of Nerdy Show, like for a VR experience. We were sitting around and said, long story short, we got to a point like, what would be the ultimate scary thing that you'd see in a VR? And we decided that spiders just crawling into someone's house would be terrifying. And from there, that spun off in a whole new direction, and I have since started working on Spider Simulator with my buddy and roommate Alvin, who is a indie game developer, and the tech demo is getting increasingly more detailed and increasingly more terrifying.
Is he one of the guys behind the Concourse?
Yes.
Oh god.
Hey, I got a great idea.
We played that on the stream last week, and fuck them.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck them in the face.
Wait, but good fuck them or bad fuck them?
The game, like the whole point of the game. Basically, it's just that it's like super frustrating, and you dicking over each other as you play it.
It depends on who you play with. If you're the type of person who wants to troll your friends, you will endlessly troll your friends and ruin their game and ruin their day. But as a straight up competition, it's Mario Kart in the sense of power ups, and in the sense that it's a race to the end, but it's in a Tron like future where the power ups are super ridiculous, and you go through mazes.
Talk about like everybody's controls invert or reverse, mirror and
The power up that when you get hit with it inverts your controls. So up is down, left is right, forward is backwards, and it's ridiculously frustrating.
Hmm. Sorry, I'm now just taking this opportunity to plug the stream team. We have a Twitch channel on Nerdy Show. It's twitch.com/nerdyshow.
Twitch.tv/nerdyshow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those.
So you should totally check it out. What are the regular days you guys do it?
Steve-O does Stepmania on Mondays. The other guys are doing Thursdays around 5 or 6, just playing random stuff. I can't go anymore because of class. And then Sundays, we do 6 to 8, just whatever game we feel like playing that particular night.
Cool. What are you saying, Briggs? Sorry about that interruption.
Oh, no, it's fine. For your spider simulator, depending on how much pain you are okay with, get John Poole to test it for you.
I've been wanting to hear his reaction. Once the demo is ready, we're trying to get a demo out there just to see the initial reaction. But
now, Poole from Ghostbusters is a hardcore arachnophobe. Am I right?
Oh yeah, yeah, like unbelievable. Because he will also
accomplished martial artist.
Yes, a very accomplished martial artist. And I'm just saying, wear body armor.
You can't defeat anything with 8 legs. There's no, they don't train you for that.
Like he has 2 triggers: spiders and zombies. Zombies, he'll just straight kill you.
Can I recommend zombie spiders for the game, Doug?
We've actually talked about Halloween DLC, like other kinds of demon spiders, zombie spiders, mummy spiders, that kind of fun stuff. That's a long way off, depending on if anyone enjoys the demo and wants to contribute to seeing it completed.
Just warn everyone, if you decide to have Poole experience this, and I'm sure you're going to have to blindfold him at some point, not tell him
blindfold
what it is.
Blindfold him? All right, Poole, sit down and play this game. You're going to be blindfolded. Okay. And you're just clicking around. Am I winning?
No.
Yes, you're winning.
I'm just saying, it's like, you know, you like black bag him. You bring him to the site where you're going to test it. You lock it down and then just, you know, give about a 5-mile radius.
Or just say, hey, walk into this room and play this game. Why black bag him? It's like, we're taking you to play Spider Simulator. Like,
I just like to make things fun.
More like complicated.
You just want to abduct somebody. That's really what you want to do.
He would be a hard person to abduct, I think, at the end of the day.
Abduct the guy who's taken taekwondo. Just say spiders are around, then they'll go with you.
If you're following our feeds for our role-playing audio drama shows, you've probably seen the recent release of the final prologue to season 2 of Ghostbusters Resurrection.
I mean the final epilogue. Prologue comes before.
You're right, the final epilogue. And with that, we also released a community update from Doug about what's happening with Ghostbusters, so won't bore you with that now. Just they're working on it. They're doing more episodes. Season 3 is in production. Mm-hmm. But you guys, you have a phone number.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's an in-world phone number, so if people call this number...
It's a real-world phone number.
I mean, yeah, but it's like, if they call this number, they'll be greeted with Nina introducing that, hey, this is the line for the Central Florida Ghostbusters, please, you know, state the nature of your paranormal experience or whatever, and we'll get right back with you.
Yeah.
And this number, anybody can call it, they leave messages, and usually play the messages at the end of the episodes. Mm-hmm. You got a really profoundly weird one recently.
Yeah. We've gotten weird ones before that we know.
Recently.
Yeah.
Those of you listening, instead of watching, I just did air quotes.
Yeah, we got it about a month ago, and I haven't known what, I wasn't going to plan to do anything with it, but because we get weird calls all the time, like we'll get, but it's mostly people just having a good time, you know, they call and they say, oh, there's a Slimer in my bed or whatever.
Slimer.
Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll get a real call from somebody who really wants help with something. Never like an emergency, like, I'm fucking dying, you know, help me, I'm dangling off of a cliff. It's you know, people say, hey, I think something weird's going on in my house, and they give me their real phone number. And I feel bad because I'm like, I don't want to call them, you know, and tell them, sorry, I'm in another state.
I remember the first one of those we got, and we all really wanted to go.
Yeah, and it was but it was across the country.
And they offered to pay.
Yeah, this person even said,
I'm not seeing the problem here. Why didn't you go?
Because, we didn't have our jumpsuits. We didn't have a car. We didn't have any equipment.
Are you forgetting? No job is too big. No fee is too big.
Yeah, well, you know, but
that's false advertising, sir.
To leave in the middle of the week to fly up there. I don't know. It would have been crazy, but they're pretty nice about it. They're pretty genuine. But this call we got isn't even really ghost related. It's just very strange. And this person reached out to the Central Florida Ghostbusters. He looked it up online, saw the number, called us, and he left a message. And I think Cap's got it. If you want to play it so they can hear.
Yeah.
This is 100% real. We actually got this call, and he left us his actual phone number, and I checked it. That's the phone number we received it from. So this is legit. So
take it away. So here it is. It's not ghost related, but no. It is very weird.
Yeah, here we go.
Yes, I'm working with the Montauk Project, trying to penetrate the mind of Vladimir Putin using the Montauk chair. I'm one of the successors to Duncan Cameron. I'm currently in the chair. And we're about to retrieve the last codes necessary to launch a nuclear missile from St. Petersburg to Kiev. And we anticipate when the missile on themselves, it will cause some type of worldwide incident where Russia tries to blame the incident on another world intelligence agency. If you'd like information on this, please give me a call. My number is that number again is this is Daniel Cameron with the Montauk Project.
So,
question. Okay, he said he was trying to get in Vladimir Putin's mind. Mm-hmm. Kiev is the capital of Ukraine.
Yes.
Which is like, I think, around 1,000+ miles away from Moscow.
Well, he says it launched a missile from St. Petersburg.
To Kiev.
Yeah.
Why would he nuke Kiev? When Kiev,
he says they're trying to get the codes. So I don't necessarily know if he was intending a launch to start an incident or to prevent it. That
sounded like to cause an incident.
That's
to
what
me.
It sounded
yeah,
like.
And it's obviously been a month and nothing happened. So it's I don't true. Think he was successful.
Or he stopped it.
I'm not seeing where there's the possibility of him trying to stop anything here, Doug.
I think we should do something about this. I mean, like ghost people. Nuclear fire does things, right?
Yeah, I don't know why. Now, if you had that information, why would you call the Ghostbusters? Be like, hey, Ghostbusters, if you want information on this, call me back. And I'm like, ooh, we're not really into the...
I mean, we're good at stopping world-ending situations in very haphazard ways with rings.
Apparently, this guy is, too. Or that's the thing. You're saying he sounded like he was trying to make it happen.
Yeah, he sounded like he was trying to get Vladimir Putin...
To frame them.
To nuke Kiev.
Mm-hmm.
To start some kind of international incident so the Russians would blame somebody else.
I got it. When he said St. Petersburg, I thought about St. Petersburg, Florida. I didn't think St. Petersburg, Russia.
Wait, why would you think? Why?
There's a lot of Russians in Tampa, man.
And I was just like, wait a second, hold on. Like, are there any nuclear bases in
St. Petersburg? Not that I'm aware of, but...
Like, there's only a handful in Florida,
They're above ground, you know? They can't dig into the, that's the ground, true. So... There have been nuclear bases in the ground in Florida, even in South Florida, but those are all long decommissioned as far as I know.
It's just what they want you to think.
But is anyone familiar with the Montauk project?
No.
I looked it up a little bit, and from what little I could find, it was it's like a psychic chair. Every place I saw online, it had a different opinion on what it really was. It's like it's a chair that you sit in, and you can either project your mind or read the mind of people around the world. Or you can even see into the past or project your mind into the past. It's not clear, really, at all.
What Wikipedia says, it's an alleged series of secret United States government projects conducted at Camp Hero or Montauk Air Force Station, Montauk, Long Island, for the purpose of developing psychological warfare techniques and exotic research, including time travel, teleportation, mind control, contact with alien life, and staging faked Apollo moon landings, all of which were developments stemming from the Philadelphia experiment in 1943.
Mm-hmm.
The stories have circulated since the 1980s, and in 1983, as the story goes, they ripped a hole in space-time.
He also says he's working with Duncan Cameron, who is a name that's tied to the Philadelphia experiment and this project. But he also at the end says that his name is Daniel Cameron,
Yeah.
And that he's an associate.
He said he was the successor.
And the successor to Duncan Cameron.
Now, here's the thing. Duncan Cameron has a lot of weird story history because he was a guy who was allegedly actually at the site of the Philadelphia experiment, which, if you're not familiar, mm-hmm. is supposedly the United States government's appropriation of Nikola Tesla's technology. They were trying to build a cloaking ship, but instead displaced a naval vessel out of time and space. And people were fused through walls and all kinds of horrific stuff. So Duncan Cameron is a survivor of that, who landed in the future and wound up in 1983 Montauk, and then was sent back to. I'm sorry, this is very confusing. Like, there's lots of information from many different sources.
Yeah, the USS Eldridge was in 1943, and that's his normal place where he came from. He started in 1943. He got thrown into the future, which was 1983, and then he's in 1983, and they send him back to 1943.
And then something happened where he was at the Montauk Project and he lost his time lock and began to age 1 year for every hour that passed. And so the engineers convinced Duncan's original father to sire another son, and they removed Duncan's soul and put it into a new child.
And that's who we know today as Duncan Cameron.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
According to a website that we're looking at.
And this guy claims to be the successor to Duncan Cameron named Daniel Cameron.
I mean, quite, you know, if you're believing any of this, could easily be the soul of Duncan Cameron put in, you know, this other. Now he's Daniel Cameron.
Now, supposedly.
So now I see where the Ghostbusters come in, because apparently somebody's got a machine or something for ripping souls out.
Maybe. But the Montauk Project supposedly came to an end when they accidentally ripped open a hole in some kind of they lifted the veil somehow, and a creature emerged, and the creature that they started to call Junior, but we, the common public, know today as AKA Bigfoot, got into the base, wrecked shit, and they sealed it off. And that was the end of the Montauk Project. But apparently it's continued, according to this phone call.
And if this sounds familiar to you at all, within the context of Nerdy Show episodes, we actually talked about a candidate for this year's presidential race back in episode 260, the Screen Door Effect. This guy named Andy Basiago, whose entire platform is about the reality of Bigfoot, the fact that he, as a child, was involved in a secret military time travel project, and just blowing the lid off of all this extra normal secrecy of the United States government. You can find out.
Is this the guy that wears a boot on his head with the big beard? Or is that somebody else?
I don't know what that is. That sounds awesome.
It sounds like that episode of Futurama where the guy comes back to the past. He's born, but comes back to the past. And it's all about his birth certificate. It's basically an analogy about what happened with Obama. It was like 2013 that episode came out, and it was really good and really funny.
But yeah, so if you want to know more about this presidential candidate, that's our episode 260 of Nerdy Show, or you can go to andy2016.com.
And now I remember.
Yeah, now you remember. So here's the thing, though. He did leave us a phone number, which obviously we didn't play, but we can call that number right now and just see what happens.
You know who this sounds like a job for, actually, now that I think about it?
What?
Atomic Robo.
That's how it does sound like a job for Atomic Robo.
So do we want to try calling?
Yes. So, I mean, this could be a bust. We'll just listen to it ring. We'll make jokes and see what happens. I mean, maybe we'll get somebody on the line here, and his name's Daniel Cameron.
That's right? What he said. That's what he said that his name was.
Okay.
I just assume that all of these terrifying secrets about the U.S. military have some relevance. So
should I introduce myself as Doug Banks, the Central Florida Ghostbusters, returning his call?
Yeah. Oh, invalid phone number?
No. No way.
Yeah, way.
Let me look up the number and make sure that we got it input right. Because if we got a call from an invalid number,
I don't know, that guys. Would be crazy. This whole thing just sounds really boring. Okay. Actually.
Hold on.
Hey, look, don't.
Hold on. So here's you're going to type in the number?
But you're going to read it on the air?
Maybe I shouldn't read it on the air.
Write it on the back.
Write it on here. Yeah, write it on that. Give me a.
You guys know any jokes? This is good radio right here. So, how's Overwatch going?
Oh, what, for me?
Yeah,
personally?
For you, yeah.
I ranked up twice today, which was pretty great.
Who's your main?
Reinhardt, Reaper, and it depends. Like, I prefer Mercy as a healer, but I'll play Anna. I'm not good with Anna here and there. But no, Reinhardt's definitely my main. He's awesome.
And you have a book right there. It's an Overwatch art book. It looks amazing.
Oh yeah, it's really cool.
Hold it up for the cameras for those watching on the YouTubes.
And punch your mic.
That wasn't me.
Yeah, that's a cool book though.
It's pretty nifty.
And it's got, like, you said there's a lot of information in there that's just not in the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, granted, the game itself is not a story-driven game at all. And the stuff that happens in-game is non-canon because most of the people in the game, for the most part, are actually allies.
Cap's giving me a look like, so what, did you get the number right?
Oh, I got it right.
But did you dial one first?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna try it again, but Adam, we'll finish up on Overwatch, and then we'll get back to the mysterious phone.
I mean, we could keep doing this and then go to Overwatch
no,
later.
Let's talk about the book.
But no, like, the book is cool. Like, if you got the collector's edition, which was the big giant box, you get the book and you get a few other cool things with it. But I've read the book, God, a bunch of times. It's got a lot of cool, relevant information about the Omnet crisis, about stuff that happened in between then when Overwatch got disbanded very dishonorably. They, like, literally were, like, made to be these villains because things started to go really wrong. And then the eventual, like, fallout between Reyes, who is Reaper, and Morrison, who is Soldier 76.
So this book isn't just, like, character art. This is, like, complete story as well?
Yeah, it has a very detailed story about everything that happened. There's stuff that's left out, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, the first time we ever saw Anna, who is the newest character, who is Farrah's mom, is put in this book. And she was one of the founding members of Overwatch.
Are there any other characters in there that might be included in future expansions?
The next one is Sombra that they're talking about. And Blizzard is doing this big ARG thing where it's literally the Reddit board for Overwatch has been going nuts deciphering it. Mm-hmm. And they've been knocking down the clues. Like, she releases, like, algorithms and whatnot, and people have been figuring it out. I haven't been doing it. I'm just not that type of person to do this sort of stuff. But basically, it's just like every puzzle leads to another question, which leads to another puzzle, which leads to and so on. And literally at this point, everyone is going crazy because Sombra has basically been hacking Blizzard, you know, in releasing these things. And we just don't know anything about the character. There's like ideas about what she looks like because you see her little skull mask thing, which is not quite like Reaper's, a bit more even cartoony than his, but still very, I guess, grim in a way. But it'll be pretty interesting to see what happens. But no one really knows who she is, what she is, because there's no mention of her in this. I've actually read through this again. There's no mention of her in it at all. But there is a name in this book. I think it's Liao. Liao? Is that how you say something like that?
I have no idea. You put way more
Liao.
The five founding members of Overwatch are Soldier 76, who is Morrison, Reyes, who is Reaper, Torbjorn, his last name is Lundholm, I think. Reinhardt Wilhelm, who is Reinhardt, and then Liao. And that character is not mentioned anywhere else in this book.
Interesting.
And I don't know if it, I don't want to sound like I'm being, I don't know, racist, or it looks like a Eastern, maybe Chinese name to me. I don't know. I've not invested any time.
It's not racist to identify a name by region.
But I've been curious, like, who is this other founding member? But a lot of people died in the Omnet crisis. Several founding members were killed.
Now, if you're not familiar with Overwatch, I assume if you're listening to Nerdy Show, you have some idea because it's kind of taken the world by storm. I've actually never played it. I've only watched the animated shorts that they've been releasing, and they're incredible. I'm not anywhere near as deep into the lore as Adam is, but, like, I'm invested in Overwatch because it has so much lore and it's so cool. And like you mentioned, so little of it shows up in the games.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of speculation lately that Blizzard is actually going to finally make the plunge into doing an animated film of some kind.
That's the big theory right now, is Blizzard is releasing these, testing the water. And nothing is confirmed, but it's just the big thing. And it kind of makes sense, I guess, on some way, because they staff a lot of former Pixar employees, and a lot of these former Pixar employees do work on these cinematics.
So, you know, all the there's what, three of them, four of them?
Well, there's Recall, which is Winston's. There is, I can't remember the name of the one that focuses around Widowmaker, and Tracer shows up in it. Mm-hmm. And then there is Dragons, which is Genji and Hanzo.
We'll link to all these on this episode's page.
And then I can't remember the name of Soldier 76, which I think
is like Hero or something.
Yeah, it's called Hero. Yeah, and that one's really good. It's shorter than the others, but
isn't it Bastion as well?
And then the last one is called Bastion, gotcha. Which is called Bastion. Yeah.
And also the trailer.
Yeah, the original trailer where they had, like, the gauntlet of the one dude.
Which was Doomfist. And there's rumor that Doomfist may make it into the game. But also, one thing that they do is the game is not the game is not canon. Like, the game itself, the matches in there, they're not canon, because most of these people...
Well, you got characters that are part of a mercenary organization that are up against, or that are with talent, and competing against heroes from the reactivated Overwatch.
Yeah.
And in the actual canon of the universe, they should be fighting each other, not, you know, with one another.
Right, right. And the thing is, it's just, they just made a very fun game to play, and that's totally fine. The interesting thing, though, is there is, and the thing is, I've never seen them myself, and I really feel like I should have looked into it, but apparently there's a lot of somber references all over the maps, in especially the ones like Dorado, the one that's in Hollywood, and I think there's one other that has several somber references all over the maps and whatnot.
See, where I was going with that whole thing was, yeah, that the animated shorts are on par with anything that's ever come out of Pixar.
Right. And the cool thing is like when they sprinkle in other stuff into there, like, you do catch Reinhardt and one of the other Crusaders in the Bastion short. You see him, mm-hmm. he takes out a couple of the Bastion units with a fire strike and then shields off, and you see the Crusader kind of like, he's right here to his like upper, like, left-hand part of the screen. But
it's, man, it's so cool. I really hope they do more with it, because I don't love multiplayer exclusive games, but I love everything that they've done with this world.
Yeah, I've played a couple matches of the game. We streamed it for a couple times. I didn't really get into it all that much. Dave is burned out of it too, but yeah, totally not invested in the game, but in the universe that they're building is really interesting.
It's probably because they've avoided, like, I guess, stereotypes. They've done a really good job of avoiding that. Like, you could make the argument, well, Soldier 76 is the gruff American soldier, but like, I don't know, like, they've got such a diverse, wide cast of characters that are genuinely interesting. You know, like, I mean, heck, Winston comes from the moon, and he took the name of his creator, but the scientist who basically raised him, and he fled the moon when a bunch of other gorillas that were genetically enhanced took over.
So and great.
Yeah, there's a moon base, alleged, you know, it's got a bunch of gorillas running it now.
Well, like, you can, okay, in the maps, you can see it actually when you're playing on the maps. If you look up to the moon, if the moon is on there, you can actually see the base itself. You can see the rings that make up the base and whatnot, that kind of that spider on out of there.
It sounds like they have a plan.
Yeah.
I hope so, because, like, there's such a ripe universe for something. Like, I don't care what it is. Like, give us more shorts. I mean, that will be great.
They did a McCree comic, too.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't read it. I hope it's good.
It's pretty short, but yeah, it was decent.
Yeah, I mean, it's even like the guys that seem like was it Reaper is super edgy and whatnot, and is like super 90s edgy and whatnot.
His nickname is Edgelord.
Yeah, Edgelord. And like, it's fine, because like, he actually, within the universe, because of the way they're handling it, he is still a really threatening, kind of terrifying person. Like, when you read his thing in here, he literally does leave white husks and devours their souls.
Because the thing that's one of the things that's most terrifying is that Mercy is like a good guy, but she's behind Reaper and Genji, and they're both kind of like science monstrosities.
Yeah, like it's still debate if she really did save Reyes after the big explosion that happened in, what was it, Stockholm? Yeah, Stockholm, Switzerland, when Reyes and Morrison, Solar 76, and Reaper were fighting. The whole base was destroyed, and she apparently did save Reaper's life, which gave him the ability to basically like turn into like a wraith of sorts and whatnot.
This sounds like more backstory than most TV shows nowadays.
Oh no, it's absolutely insane. Like, I mean, Genji was killed by Hanzo, his brother, and she literally rebuilt his entire body. Like, basically the only thing biological about him is his heart and his head, but the rest of his body is completely robotic.
And if you're listening to all this and you still, this sounds like nonsense, just check out the animated shorts. You'll fall in love.
The shorts are great.
They're so incredible.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Now here's the thing. Like you said, I did get the number right. Mm-hmm. I did get the number right. So let me just click it again, see if anything changes. Yeah. Invalid phone number. I'm dialing it on Skype. It's got the one in front of it for the United States and everything.
And that's
207 area code.
That's not only is that the number that he spoke and gave us, that's also the number, according to Google Voice, that it came from.
Huh.
Like, so there's no mistaking. That's...
Maybe he actually is from...
Maybe they found him.
Maybe the whole joke was just that he wanted to get you to look at his profile image, Doug.
That was a different person.
Oh, that was a different person?
There was someone who had some hardcore pornography as a profile image, but not this guy.
Someone tried to contact Ghostbusters, and they were just like, hey, is this Ghostbusters? Can you give me a call? And their icon was hardcore pornography. I was like, well, it's not a bot. they clearly asked if it was Ghostbusters, but man.
Now, that's super duper weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google this number and see if anything comes up.
It's probably for the best. It just sounded boring.
Oh, yeah. Very, very boring. Very boring, Matt.
I don't know. I think it sounds pretty interesting. I think we should look into it. Oh, I'll get off the subject, but there's one thing. I don't know how many people saw it. I think I showed it to Trench. There's a comic online. It is an Overwatch comic, but everyone knows that Overwatch got really format inspiration from Team Fortress. I mean, it's obvious.
Right, yeah.
But it's about Zarya, the Russian pink-haired soldier. You know, that's one of the most interesting characters in the game, even though she's one of the least, I guess, talked about in the game. But she basically says, she walks up to Mercy in the comic. She goes, "Hey, I'm going on vacation." She's like, "Where are you going?" "Oh, I'm going to see my uncle back home." And she's like, "Okay, well, don't start any fights." And I think I can't remember who it is. I think Farrah walks in there and she's like, she has an uncle? Well, yeah, everyone has like an uncle, I guess. And then she gets there and she basically kind of like going through memories and whatnot. And her uncle is the Heavy from Team Fortress.
What?
And basically her uncle was fighting in the Omnat crisis. And there's this moment in there where she's a young child and they're in this alleyway and an Omnic shows up because Russia got devastated by the crisis. Like they got heavily devastated by it. And she shows up and he just pulls out Sasha and he basically tells her to run along. Him and Sasha will take care of it. And it just, you know, is really, really good. And then it shows her at the gravesite of Soldier 76, you know, with Sasha. And I'm just like, that's really good. Like, I'm like, come on, for a week, can you just give us the Team Fortress characters in the game? Because they would just work out.
That could be funny.
That would be hilarious.
We need some very some legal finagling to make that happen.
I got an update on this phone number.
Okay.
The phone number, it seems to be a legit phone number in the past from it's from Maine. And when I Googled just the number, like in quotes, to find that if that number was ever exactly posted anywhere online, there's a Facebook page. First name of someone named Daniel, which matches our caller.
Right.
The title of this Facebook page under a Google search says, "I am the super admin of the page," and it like trails off. Like it's going to say more stuff. The little subtext underneath it says, "If you have any questions or complaints, feel free to call me anytime, 24/7 at the number. I am always willing to talk to people since I don't really have any ... It trails off. So I'm like, okay, this looks like exactly what we're looking for. Click the page on Facebook. Facebook says, page not found.
What the fuck have we stumbled into?
I hope it's some real black baggy government thing where like they're...
You just all about the black bag and yeah. Covered people and taking them out and all quiet and cloak and dagger.
You've got to feel different when you're the one getting black bagged.
So we don't have any black bags here, but we've got a curtain or a bed sheet or stuff we could bag Briggs with.
You want to get? We can bag you right now, man. If you want to feel what it's like,
experience.
Hey, you get bagged?
At work, we actually were able to put myself inside of an exhaust box for that. You know, exhaust for a car comes in. I was actually able to actually get inside of the entire box. It's not that big. Just
wait.
I'm travel sized.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We're gonna go put them in the overhead compartment of a plane.
I've done that.
Of course you have. Wait, why? How?
I used to work for an airline. We just wanted to see if I could fit.
I should have left you in there.
Oh, my God.
All right. I'm going to the Internet Wayback Machine to see if we can get some answers.
Well, here's the thing. The Montauk Project, when we looked into it, especially if you – I didn't know a thing about Bigfoot. That was news to me. Like, it sounds like it's one of many, many, many things that went on to inspire Stranger Things, which we haven't talked about much in the show because up until recently I hadn't managed to watch all of it yet. And also because it's a show that – though I'm sure most everyone listening to this has watched all the episodes by now. It's obviously a thriller, so it's pretty spoiler heavy. So it would be good to be cautious about having a casual conversation about Stranger Things. But it is everyone.
We can at least
right.
say what we liked.
I did end up loving the show. It was very, very good. It's extremely well directed. The acting is fantastic. And as far as paranormal shows go, I mean, it's spectacular. I can't wait for more of it. And eight episodes is, man, more American shows need to do that. It was so well-paced.
I mean, it came out on the 15th of July and we're in September now. So I don't know.
There's a statute of limitations that's passed, but I mean, I want to be respectful to, you know, to everybody as far as spoilers go. Flame On recently released an episode that was entirely about Stranger Things. I believe that is a spoiler wall segment. I didn't listen to it yet.
Yeah, I didn't either. They released their episode, but Isabiz, who is literally in Iceland, is saying, "Cap, we need to talk about this." So I don't know if someone who's literally in Iceland has seen it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, that would, if we were going to talk about Stranger Things and have spoilers, we would need to maybe dedicate an entire microsode to that, which admittedly Flame On has already done. We'd have two shows on the network doing
it's exclusive. That good, Cap. It's worth it.
It is very good.
I got to agree with Matt on this. It's like, without any spoilers, like just the way they did it. It was the most 80s thing to come out of the 80s that's not actually in the 80s.
They did a really good job of not taking it too far.
And yeah, but that's true too. But like, it wasn't like comical in how they did it. Like, it still felt very good and serious. Like, you never question its validity the entire time. It was, I don't know, like the way from they did the camera shots, because it was like a perfect fusion of Steven Spielberg, Stephen King, and SCP.
Yeah, you could see all of their influences, you know. And I have no idea who the Duffer Brothers were prior to doing it, because I'd never heard of them before. So I'm pulling them up on IMDb right now. So,
well, they directed a couple episodes of that M. Night Shyamalan produced TV series that came out a year or so ago. And what else are they involved with?
So one of them, Matt Duffer, was a writer on Hidden. He was a writer on We All Fall Down. He was a writer on Eater. What is that? Wayward Pines, Vessel.
That's the M. Night show, Wayward Pines.
Road to Moloch.
I mean, weird stuff. They gravitate towards weird stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing like super, like, prominent. I guess really big or popular.
Where was they? I think, I can't remember the exact number, but they took Stranger Things to something like 20 different networks and got declined repeatedly until they...
It's amazing what Netflix will do, because, like, I'm not saying all of Netflix shows are spectacular, but it seems like most of them are, because everyone talks about, like, you have like Narcos, you have Stranger Things, the Marvel series, Voltron, you know, Orange is the New Black, like, and what is it, the one that really started it all, the president one,
Mako Island Mermaids,
sure, yeah, that one. I don't know what that is, but what was the one with is it Kevin
House of Cards?
House of Cards. That one's the very first Netflix, I think, show that they did, and since then they've just been churning out hit after hit. I wonder if it's because they're throwing tons of money at people that, you know, either are just good at creation, or they just step back enough to where they're not like doing the Warner Brothers DC thing.
I mean, Netflix knows, and they've, you know, they've just proved this time and time again. They know that storytelling is ultimately what makes people invested. Good storytelling. And in most cases, everything that they've greenlit has exemplified that.
I saw another thing recently about season 3 of Young Justice.
God, stop teasing me.
I mean, That can't be real, right? Like, it's too good to be true.
It is too good to be true, but I mean, the thing is, though, is like...
It keeps popping up as teasers.
The creators keep coming out, and they're just like, hey, guys, be patient. And the thing is, like, apparently they, from what we can gather from their posts on Twitter and in various other places, they're really trying to make this happen.
Yeah.
They and because, God, the end of season 2, like... I have a hard time watching it, because just like, I don't want it to end.
They expected to get picked up for third season.
And the reason for getting canceled still makes me want to hit my head against a wall till I black out.
Normally I take that rage out on the Cartoon Network executives or the DC executives or whoever was responsible for the abrupt cancellation of a show like Young Justice. But
right. No, but I mean, the problem is I can't do that to them. So I mean,
so you just have to take it on yourself.
Exactly.
I internalize the rage.
I will accept all Young Justice rage. So just send it my way, and I will.
Adam Briggs died for their sins.
I will die for your sins.
So you're Young Jeezy now? Is that?
No. If I had to choose, I would want to be the God Emperor. I need 8 shamans to sacrifice and die.
Is that what Young Jeezy's name is actually referenced to? Is it him being Young Jesus? Is that what he was going for?
I don't know.
Because I always assumed it was like, really, he wanted to say Young Jizzy, and he just didn't want to cure
it. It's Kanye West, and I don't give a shit, honestly.
Wait, it's Kanye?
Yeah.
Young Jeezy is Kanye?
He goes by Yeezy.
Yeah, Young Jeezy is somebody else.
Are you sure?
I'm almost certain.
Yeah, Kanye is Yeezy.
I don't follow his career.
I don't either. That's why I don't know. I don't care enough.
You care more than me, because I had no idea what was going on.
I'm certain Young Jeezy is somebody
else.
No, see,
you do care, because you care so much that you're talking about somebody who's not even Kanye West, and because you think he's attached to it, you don't look into it. Sounds similar to Yeezy. Probably Kanye. Not interested. You care a lot, sir. Come hide it.
Stop projecting, Doug.
But no, seriously, can we get more Young Justice, please?
Honestly, I don't know what Greg Weissman's doing right now. It's probably a bunch of stuff hidden behind NDAs. Aside from, working on his Reign of the Ghosts book series, which if you haven't read, you totally should. We've interviewed him on the show about it a number of times. And the first two books are great, and there's no guarantees that there's going to be any more, just like every other project that he does that's amazing. So buy his books. And then, of course, he was brought in for the first season of Star Wars Rebels to amp up their characterization. He did that and then left. And after that, don't know what he's been doing. So if there's any reality to pulling Young Justice back together, well, it could easily be going on behind the scenes because, as far as I know, it hasn't been announced what he's working on right now.
Hmm. Well, then that way Netflix kind of does stuff. They're just like, hey, by the way, this is coming out a week later. There it is. That's very common for them to do that.
If we could find this guy with the Montauk Project, we could look into his brain and see what's going on.
Oh, true, yeah.
But I've given up looking online, man. There's dead ends literally everywhere. Wow. Like you'll find something that hits, and you click it, and it's like, page does not exist.
Well, if you have any information, listeners and viewers, please let us know about this strange thing.
I also have to formally apologize to Young Jeezy and all of his fans for confusing him with Kanye West, because he is indeed someone else.
Yeah, see, it's not okay. But I understand Kanye West's ego is so big, it subverts all other rappers.
I mean, I bet you Kanye West does think he is Young Jeezy as well. I mean, I don't know who really.
Well, he clearly took the name similar.
What, because of Yeezy?
Yeah.
I don't know. He just fucking makes new versions of his name all the damn time. He's shortened it down to Ye now.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not like publicly, not like it says Ye on the albums, but like, you know, he's like, there was a record producer, it was Tony Visconti, the like legendary David Bowie producer, among many, many, many other amazing people. He called out Kanye for, you know, being
a tool.
A tool, probably, same as everybody else. And Kanye was like all over Twitter being like, Tony Visconti, who are you even? You're just an old man. I bet your kids love Ye. I'm gonna give him free Ye in the mail. What's free your address? Ye. Yeah, like that's what he calls himself and his products, Ye. Y-E. Ye.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. Free Ye.
I'm confused. So is he trying to be Prince right now?
No.
Prince has never been as such a much a like pretentious shitbag as Kanye.
I know, but like he's fucking up. I mean, like, it's just like we
shouldn't turn Nerdy Show into a show talking about Kanye. Like, man, I've never even given his music a fair shot because he's so offensive to me as a person.
I mean, okay, so how about
Black I've never Panther's even given other people's music a fair shot because he's so offensive as a person.
God damn.
Fuck me.
Let's move on. Hey,
Stranger Things.
We got more to say about Stranger Things.
Yes,
we didn't really even say much about Stranger Things.
Take the reins, man.
Now you're putting it on me. Okay.
It's how great. Did you feel? Yeah, other than it's
I
good.
Just don't want to spoil it. It's
what
it,
did you here? Let's put it this way: what did you like about it versus anything else that you've been watching lately? Like, what about it? What makes it stand out? What makes it worth other people's time? Instead of just being like, it's good, check it out. Like, why would you recommend it?
Why would I? Honestly, the reason I'd recommend it is because of the D&D in it, but
just because it references D&D,
there's a lot of good D&D.
There's some really good D&D
references. No, I know. I know the references to D&D. I'm just saying. But here's what I think: purely because it references D&D, E.T.'s got D&D in it.
I'm gonna use this as a launching point. Stranger Things has a ton of references to stuff, and people like to throw around the word nostalgia all the time. If you're drawn into a show due to nostalgia, you should think twice about whether or not that show has earned your respect.
Yeah.
Stranger Things, however, it has lots of things you might recognize. It has a ton of pop culture references. It's steeped in and heavily inspired by a whole gamut of pop culture. Mm-hmm. But it also is inspired by so legitimately that it's not derivative exclusively of this other stuff. It's all there, but it is its own thing. It is unique. It is valid. It's not just a pastiche. It's something more. Mm. And that's what I think is great. Because D&D is in it. D&D plays a central role. They directly reference really specific nuanced stuff about D&D.
They referenced a specific copy of X-Men, which was like a huge fucking deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the episode that, what, Jean Grey dies or becomes Phoenix or something. I can't remember specifically what happens.
I think it's when she becomes the Phoenix is the one that they wrote. But for me, I'll say this much. For me, and I've been saying it since day one. I know other people have said it, and I know people have thought it before me, but SCP, like Secure, Contain, Protect, it literally, that show, it feels like somebody, like the Duffer Brothers, I don't know if they are, but it feels like to me they were fans of that, and they go...
SCP the movie. Or the show, rather.
Basically, yeah. I mean, like, granted, again, as Kat pointed out, it stands on its own. Even with the references and the homages to the other stuff that it did, even if you are unaware of that stuff, it doesn't matter because the show in itself is still good and very engrossing, and you like it because it's that good. But I don't know, like the entire, the facility, the monster, the way in which things all happen in the show screamed like an SCP, you know, related, you know, incident to me. Like I felt like I was almost on their website reading, you know, one of their, you know, heavily redacted, you know, documents, you know, on there. And it's just, that's the feeling that I got. Plus, you know, Spielberg, you know, and Stephen King, you know,
and a fair helping of the Montauk Project.
But say to you, it feels like SCP. To me, it feels like the Montauk Project. It's like a portal opening and a monster coming out, and they have to destroy a facility and psychics right. and
yeah. No doubt. Like, I mean, it's just I don't know. Like, you just I can't wait to see more. Like, I mean, because I know they said
season two, yeah, is a thing.
They said it's going to
yeah.
have a larger scope. Like it's going to not just be in Hawkins, Indiana. It's going to, you know, branch outside of it, you know, a bit more. So, like, are there going to be other facilities that are similar, doing similar projects where, and they said that, I guess, the Upside Down will be more heavily involved or they'll go to it more often, maybe? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of on the boat of I didn't really feel like I needed more Stranger right. Things. I felt like they concluded everything. That was basically like most of the self-contained episodes of X-Files. That, you know, they didn't put a neat little bow on everything, but they just addressed enough and left enough just kind of hanging there that I was satisfied and without
the,
more.
Yeah, it's a really intimate show. Like, because it's the small town and the personal relationships. If they broaden the scope, it'll turn into a very different thing, which is fine, I guess, but it seems like it might
change too much.
Yeah, maybe. But it also could just be like, well, if you like the vibe of season one, watch season one. It's pretty self-contained. If you like the vibe of season two, if you want like a bigger kind of outbreak story or something like that, check it out, you know?
It's hard to say. Like, I mean, I agree with your point in reference what you're saying to as well, Trench. And I was there with you saying like, okay, cool. This is kind of like season one of Dexter. You didn't need the other seasons. You really didn't. It could have ended in the first season, right? But then that the after credits scene, basically the very ending thing happens, and I'm like, okay, well, shit, what the hell is this? Like that. Now we need to know what's going on with this.
That's the only reason it's there.
Yeah,
you know, it's to say, hey, if we wanted to make a second one, we could. You know,
but. Yeah, and they there's still stuff that was sprinkled throughout the show that I think could delve would be good to further elaborate on. I don't know.
I mean, there's no doubt there's potential there for more stuff. It's just a matter of like, all right, well, it was so self-contained. Where's it going to go? It's kind of like it's similar to my problem with like the potential Han Solo movie. I'm like, where's it going to go? I mean, you know, the first one's good. Didn't need more. It's nice. But how much further are you going to go? Like, it's like everything was so contained. Everything ended. It wrapped it up. The characters have done their thing and that's it. But if it's a different story where it doesn't involve the same characters, it's just in the same universe. Sure.
True. And then, I mean, there's also the scene with the sheriff at the very end as well.
Yeah.
I ended up liking him a lot more than I thought I was going to when he first showed up.
Yeah. He's probably my favorite character.
He and Winona Ryder were actually really good. I didn't expect that out of Winona Ryder.
Yeah. No, she knocked it out of the park. Like she did the hysterical grieving mother.
I liked her. Yeah. I wish that she did more non-shouting, and I don't blame her for that. It's like it's just they only wrote her in two modes, where she's quiet normal mom, and then once the boy goes missing, everything is no one believes me, and I'm like, it was fine for the type of role that it is. I she did it so well, and I believed her, and well, I cared
if,
about
if
her
she
throughout.
Factors heavily in any follow-up, then she'll probably be a little bit more level-headed.
Yeah it's just she was always on edge, and I wanted to see a little bit of a dip just to see more of her, because I've only seen that one aspect of her.
And the thing that I read, I think, is going to actually, because if there was more, it should, you know, focus on other people and a different story, so, you know.
Apparently that is the case.
I read something else that said that the follow-up is going to actually kind of address like Barb and how
happened
she did.
Yeah, well,
thanks for the spoilers, Doug. I'm sure everybody wanted that revelation.
We knew we were going into it that way.
Did we?
Yeah.
Did we?
That's what we were saying.
That we were going to do spoilers?
Yeah.
When did we say that? We didn't say that.
Said we couldn't talk about it without going into spoilers. And so then the whole thing was like, well, if ice in Iceland had heard it, then fuck it. Everyone should know.
Well, here, think about this. They said,
and also, it's not a surprise.
We know by episode 4, basically, that, yeah. Well, anyway, so here's the thing, though. They said broadening the scope, but what does that mean? Does it necessarily mean they said that the whole cast is returning? They said that everyone's coming back. They're going to have four new prominent characters that are going to enter the scene as well. But And they said that they want to delve into the upside down more. So what if broadening the scope is more, not so much like saying going outside of Hawkins, but going into the upside down, which is still, I guess, outside of Hawkins, but kind of not. I mean, I would like to know more. Like, maybe there's more things that are in there. I mean, there has to be.
There's one aspect of the Montauk project they haven't touched, and that's time displacement. They haven't touched that.
Yeah.
If all it takes is a little tweak of time travel, and all of a sudden you want a broader scope, there's your broader scope.
Yeah.
Right.
Same place, different time.
Also, I think the thing that the show does well is that it's not so much nostalgia of the 80s, but rather the movies of the time. Like, it copies those, not as a copy, but like it feels right in line with those.
It emulates them well.
I mean, there's a reason people do films, the horror films specifically, and so on, set in the 70s and 80s now, and it's because the connectedness of the 21st century in the late 90s, mm-hmm. for what it's worth, it makes it harder to tell stories where people, like, being alone. We're not alone.
You've got a computer in your pocket that connects to, you know, the vast majority, if not the entirety, of, you know, human knowledge. And, you know, in the modern day, you're very rarely outside of cell reception in, you know, the United States. You know, you'll hit pockets here and there, but, I've got no signal, I can't call someone, something that happens.
The first step to doing a thriller in the modern age is take away their cell phone reception somehow. Like, right. Somehow.
Ooh. Never mind.
Well, the reason I bring up like that, it ties into the sort of movie expectations of the time is you're like, that thing about Barbara's a spoiler. No, it's not. You know, from the moment one, she's got a big fat target on her face. Like, there's no that's the cliche role that they
you can
fill.
Tell by, based on the fact that nobody, like, it was all of the buildup and you know, focus on Will.
Yeah. Well, but maybe you would assume that they would subvert expectations. In that way,
they quickly reveal that they don't, and that in that one regard, and that's so that they can subvert your expectations later. Like, it starts to play up, like you're like, oh, I kind of know where this is going, and then four episodes in, you're like, I didn't expect that part, and then you know, another episode later, you're like, whoa, another twist, and then by the time you get to the end, you go, oh, I didn't know where this was going at all. But like, the first three episodes is nothing but like setting up something that feels familiar yet new at the same time.
Well, like they did, the various storylines that start to kind of converge towards the end of the show, Nancy storyline, I just did not care about until what happened with Barb. And then I'm like, no, I'm in now. Like, at first I was like, she just feels like she's there wasting time. Like, it wasn't bad.
We keep saying what happened with Barb, which was like 30 minutes in. It's like, this is not like a big spoiler.
Well, she doesn't go missing until the end of season or beginning of episode three, where you see her get dragged into the upside down pool, you know, by the monster.
Anyway, we could keep talking about Stranger Things, but it would
go into actual spoilers, as opposed to this side character who's got a target on their back dies really quickly, and that's the end.
Well, anyway, so this partial discussion of Stranger Things, all the rest of this episode, all the content on the Nerdy Show Network is brought to you in part by you. Our dear listenership, viewership, everyone, we're entirely listener supported, and we rely exclusively on you to keep us alive. One of the best ways to do that is to support us on Patreon. Just subscribe on there. You can give us a minuscule amount even. You get cool stuff, and in return, you support all of our efforts here, struggling in this repurposed bedroom, doing podcasts, sweating for you.
Telling you, revealing the truth that Barb is just the Boba Fett of Stranger Things.
Fans, this is a really tiny bedroom.
Fans, hype it up. Ain't much there.
It's about the size of my bedroom.
So we got some new patrons, actually. We got a lot of activity. Briggs, why don't you give some shout-outs here to some fine folks?
All right. So new patrons, Joe Holloway.
Woo! Welcome, Joe.
Yep, Joe. And then
Joe's a Ghostbusters fan, by the way.
Oh, ooh. Joe. Well, hi.
In that case, hello.
See, this is me waving. This is what happens when I
bust
something. That's the wave.
It's trademark. The trademark Briggs wave.
It's the trademark. Don't steal it.
Yeah.
Right. Do not steal.
In Germany, they're called vampires.
who else we got?
Okay. And then Charlie Tuga? Toga? Tuga?
I think it's Tuga.
Tuga. I want to go with Tuga. I like Tuga. Who says, flame on, brought me here. And then you have a smiley face. Yeah.
Welcome, Charlie.
All right. And then Daniel Devine or Devin. I'm going to say Divine.
I think it's Divine.
I think it's Divine. Yeah. If it's wrong, correct me. I'm silly.
But you're pretty, so it's okay.
I am very handsome. Thank you very much. I've not been able to donate for such a long time, and now I'm happily becoming a patron. I've listened to the podcast since D&D Episode 3 came out, and I'm a huge fan and waiting for more Doritos. You can go to the store.
No, come. Dungeons and Doritos, the continuation of Book 3 is coming real, real soon. We're working on it. We just want to make sure that when we come back, we're on a regular schedule and we can bring it back monthly. That's our biggest goal, so that this wait will have paid off, because you'll never have a wait ever again. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to circumvent all the bullshit that we've gone through in the past. Thank you for being so patient. Like, I'm really sincerely, like, it's been a year since we put out D&D. That's fucked up. That's really fucked up. I'm super sorry about it, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure this never ever happens again, which is why it's taking us so long, because we want to lock it down.
It's probably my fault. Let's just, Kath, you want to go with that? Oh, here, look, here's the smiley faces on the paper. See? See, they're different.
We got more, though.
See, nobody ever gave me my paper back.
Wait, who took your paper? Who took your paper?
You did.
Cap.
I did. Oh, because you wrote the thing on it. I'm sorry. That's where the secret phone number was written.
Which apparently doesn't exist.
Should I give the secret phone number?
No,
you're holding it wrong.
Am I playing with fire?
Do I want to put that evil
on us?
Men in Black are going to show up at the front door once we're done recording this and
seize all of our equipment.
And they're going to black bag Briggs, take him out.
That's just for fun.
No, see, they're going to black bag everyone else, and Briggs will be like, wait, bring me too. I want to be black bagged.
That's when I'll waffle my way in there.
Waffle your way? How do you waffle? What do you mean? You could put yourself between two iron, hot pieces of iron?
I don't know. Kevin Tchaikowski?
Kevin did some editing for Nerdy Show.
He calls me the waffler at work. I don't know what it really means.
Do you make good waffles?
No, I have never made waffles for anyone. I mean, I've...
As an act of cruelty.
Maybe he's trying to tell you something.
He says that when he takes over, I'll be his henchman called the waffler, and I'll have two like waffle irons for hands and just beat people and waffle.
Anyway, what do you ask?
Is he perhaps suggesting that you fail to make up your mind on a regular basis?
Oh, is that what waffling means?
No, that'd be pancaking, because you flip-flop.
That's if you use it as a verb, that's the fail to make up one's mind.
Probably, because...
It's not raunchy enough to be Urban Dictionary.
No, that's just straight up the dictionary.
Regular dictionary, okay.
The waffler special move is called the blue waffle.
So you're
indecisive. You flip pancakes.
But waffler sounds fun.
Waffler meaning, okay, waffling, whatever. We got to move on. Anyway. So please continue.
So our next new patron is a pretty cool guy. Cap and I met him at a comic shop a little bit ago.
Yep.
His name is Arendor, a.k.a. Stefan from Sweden. He said, so there, just started a Patreon for you guys. Enjoy some Swedish money. Mm. Is that like Swedish fish?
It tastes real good.
Or chocolate.
I thoroughly enjoyed my visit to the States this summer, and meeting some of the Nerdy Show crew was definitely one of the highlights. I've enjoyed the shows for years, and it's time to give something back. Keep up the good work, and by the All Father's beard, may there be more derpy show before Ragnarok comes.
We'll have to tell Boar about that.
Because that's
what he gets for...
That hits theaters like this November, so we better...
the derpy show movie? Or Ragnarok.
No, Ragnarok. Ragnarok. That's what I'm saying. Derpy show's got to have that before.
That actually looks really good. The stuff they talk about.
Fingers crossed. Thor has a track record of being half good and half more.
Yeah.
In my opinion, anyway. And we'll see. We got one more. We have a new producer here at Nerdy Show.
Oh, this is the producer?
Yeah, new producer.
Oh, shit. Better not screw this up.
A while ago, we hit our $1,000 mark. But the thing is that with Patreon, it's entirely donation-based. You subscribe, and people can back out. And we understand everybody's budget fluctuates and so on. So it'll take a while for us to get past $1,000 until we actually have the security of knowing that we're truly making $1,000 a month. So this month, we wavered a bit.
We waffled a bit?
We waffled. We had a little bit of a waffling incident. We waffled a bit. And this new, charming new fella came in and saw that we had not yet hit $1,000 and said, you know what? I'm going to bridge that gap. I'm going to be a producer. So hats off to you, Dax Havrilek, a.k.a. Hugs the Gnome, a real champion, someone I've been talking to online. Awesome dude who actually, I'm going to share this little fact about him. He does a lot of gaming in Texas, and he's actually played versions of Monopoly and the Game of Life that are... life size, as in with actual houses that are up for sale.
What?
On where spaces in life are full city blocks.
Holy shit.
I've never heard of anything like this before. I've only kind of partially got some details on it.
If you play the game of life, you just use your own car?
I guess.
Because if you, I mean, that's the car is the thing that moves around in the game of life.
Do you get to expense your gas?
How did he win the game of life?
Well, I don't know if he won, but I think he helped stage it.
You should die at the end.
Nah. You know, 'cause you don't die at the end of the game of life. You get to the retire, right?
Well, what game are you playing?
Game of the board game. Game of life.
Shit, we play different ones.
There's many different versions of the game of life, like Star Wars game of life.
Some people get plugged into an old, you know, the near Death Star.
Dax is also working on a really cool sounding Stranger Things tabletop game.
Mm.
Tabletop role-playing game.
Dude, a mechanic of that board game has to be that you flip the board upside down.
Oh, that if it was a board game, hell
it
yeah.
It has to. If you don't, shame on you.
There should be a wild card called the Ghostbuster show up and
whatever. Solve the problem. And then the problem is done. That's the end of the game.
And there's a ring.
And you charge money for it.
He says, one series down, finally finished Dungeons and Doritos and wanted to help out with what I can. The more series I finish and catch up on, the more I'll be happy to donate. Already a producer. Wow.
Damn.
Yeah. Dax, thank you so much. It's amazing. It's amazing having a new producer in the roster. That's awesome.
You, sir, are a true Chugler.
Yeah. And a Roosevelt. A Chugler and a Roosevelt, if I've ever seen one.
Is he a Waffler?
No.
This shows
true
clear decision. Yeah. True commitment. So mine is another.
I got one more thing.
You got one more?
Because you have iTunes, right? Right, Doug?
Yes.
Okay. So we got one more. This is from Jade Newmy. It's a shout out. And actually a letter to Nerdy Show, to all of Nerdy Show. And it's long. So I'm going to try to read it kind of quickly. You have to excuse me, Jade Newmy.
They found us!
Damn you, Briggs!
This is not a joke. That just happened.
Doug, your computer is on the battery backup, right?
Yeah, it's recording.
So we're still recording.
And
there we go. Okay, great. We're back.
If Briggs was gone, I would have shit my pants.
Wow, there's a thunderstorm happening outside.
It's the after effects of that hurricane. Look, that was a near miss.
For those who didn't get the visual, the lights completely went out. For that moment.
Everything died except for the computers that are on a backup.
Battery backups. Oh my God.
Are we still recording audio?
Oh, we're still recording audio. Nothing stops this train.
they're, until they come in, they burst through the door.
the God Emperor clearly favors us today.
Jay Newby says, as an avid fan of this great and wonderful network of podcasts, I thought I would tell you my story to you, Nerdy Show, and how you've brought positivity to my life. First and foremost about me, hi, I'm Dylan, also known as Jade Newmy, in all forms of social media and video game outlets, except PSN, literally still trying to figure out how someone swooped in on that shit before me.
Wow.
I consider myself a huge nerd in mostly all things. I'm such a nerd, people often fear my nerdery. I thought to put in general categories of nerddom, Star Wars, anime, manga, video games, movies, television, well, what I can get on Hulu and other streaming platforms since I don't have cable, tabletop, LARP, comics. Yeah, I guess you just say I'm a huge, amazing nerd. Sounds like it to me. Anyway, back to my message. I first discovered Nerdy Show some 4 or 5 years ago while perusing the great interwebs for a casual yet amazing D&D podcast to listen to, and then bam, Dungeons and Doritos. I laughed, I cried, I laughed some more. From there on out, I was an avid follower of the D&D crew and their adventures, but as of then, never dabbled into the other podcasts. Dumb mistake on my part. Fast forward to January 2015, and I'm still just setting in back home from Christmas leave after my unit was deployed to Afghanistan. Oh, yeah, I'm active duty military, 101st out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky, 2BCT1502BN, and I'm awakened by over 100 missed calls and well over 200 texts. I find out my only living eldest brother had passed away during the night. Mm. The next few months were hell beyond belief. Crippling depression mixed with deployment shit really got to me. I was going down a dark path, but with a mix of love for my wife, family, and unit, I managed. One night, though, during some of the worst times, I decided that I want to listen to D&D in my car. When I'm at work and have any breaks, I download the podcast app because we don't have our own proprietary one. We can recommend them to you, so ask if you're curious. anybody, and head straight to it. But during that time, I was like, hey, they have a bunch of other content. I'm going to listen to most of them and see if I'd like any. And that led me down the path of fully discovering Nerdy Show as a network. I came to love and look forward to the flagship podcast, Nerdy Show, as well as State of the Empire, Call of Cthulhu, which you all know I love, mostly Father Grandfather, wink at Brandon, who is on vacation right now, but I'll transmit the wink to him.
He's knee deep in crabs.
He's all up in them crabs right now. And Old Bay Spice.
Now, not the kind you find in the ocean. Both. The kind you find in your pants.
All of the above.
Okay.
Is that where you always find them?
Nerdy Show Book Club, RPG from Scratch, Bad Storytellers, Wicked Anime, Flame On. I mean, I can go on with this list. But in truth, in those dark days, you all became friends to me. Though I do not personally know any of you, I still kick myself for not meeting you guys while I was down in Orlando last year. You guys brought, in truth, a lot of myself back from a dark place. Listening to you all, I laughed when I thought I couldn't. I smiled the whole time anyone was talking during any podcast. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a light in this world. Without you guys, even with all my help, I may not have come all the way through the way I did. Always be nerdy, derpy, shiny, wicked, and all around awesome. Sincerely, a grateful fan, Dylan.
Wow.
It's a tremendous and wonderful letter.
I don't really know what else to say to that. That's amazing.
I feel bad that I'm here now. I can't. I mean, geez, there's so much better people here for that.
You're a Ghostbuster, man. You saved the world. Come on.
I mean, twice. Yeah, but I do it in a very clumsy and I'm not gonna.
Are derpy.
I'm not giving Rob credit.
You've been on Derpy Show.
I have, but I haven't had my derp off with NeoFaust.
NeoFaust is a host on Derpy Show. Yeah,
I think I'm supposed to.
You're scheduled for a derp off.
Well, remember when we did when we kicked down their door?
Yeah.
Then we went in there and then scared
busted the Headless Horseman.
Yeah, and then we I don't know somebody did something.
So there's a derp off in the future.
Well, yeah, we were supposed to derp off between me and remember you don't remember this was like years
ago.
No,
I'm asking. So I'm saying, is there going to be a derp off in the future?
Well, it's up to Rob, but Rob's lazy.
Well,
before Ragnarok, we're gonna have a derp off.
So Dylan has a PS, kind of have a shout out that is way off tone from this whole message, but I thought I should put it in before I forget. It's a positive/negative shout out to my best bud of all time back home waiting for me to get out of the army. So I say to Mr. Kelly, fuck you, you fucking fuck, be fucking patient, I'll come home soon, you fuck.
I like it. That's positivity.
Mr. Kelly, you fuck.
I like it. Can I get a shout out like that sometime?
Briggs, a negative fuck shout out? You, you fucking fuck. Be fucking patient. I'll come home soon, Briggs, you fuck. How that feel?
From now on, when I come home from class, I'll walk upstairs to your room. I'll just stand in your doorway and I'll say that.
Okay? You stand in my doorway and say weird shit all the time.
Mm-hmm. No. Right now, I'm because wearing a Pika Thor shirt, which is a mashup of Pikachu and Thor, drawn by Tony Baldini. And you can get this on our Amazon store. One of the other ways you can help promote Nerdy Show, nerdyshow.com/store. We did, however, find out something recently. Thanks to Kausa Baloo, we found out that we don't ship to Canada because these are printed on demand from Amazon. And they apparently
they don't ship.
Amazon merch does not ship outside the United States yet.
Hmm.
So we apologize. We do, however, have Nerdy Show logo shirts and D&D shirts that we ourselves have. We also sell them as print on demand. But we have a back stock, so they're cheaper from Nerdy Show, and we'll mail internationally. So if that's ever of interest, we got it. Now, one other way you can help that doesn't involve any money whatsoever is iTunes. And now, Doug, finally.
Yes, okay.
We got
I didn't realize where mine was. I thought this was this person a Patreon backer, like this whatever. But okay, no, so these are iTunes comments.
Yes, these are our reviews on iTunes.
Oh,
so
they're
if
all
you
terrible
sign on to iTunes, rate and review our shows. If you want to just rate it, you can just click a 5-star rating. Easy peasy. All you got to do is sign in or have an account. And if you want to leave a review, it doesn't even have to be long. It can be short. Like, these are pretty short and sweet.
Yeah. These are both from someone going by the name Morning Pink, which is either a really beautiful picture or it's a sexual reference.
Yeah.
I hope it's a sexual reference.
First one by Morning Pink is for the Nerdy Show Network feed. The subject is NESPN. And the comment says, "This network is to the nerddom as ESPN is to sports. Nuff said." Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Morning Pig made a second comment review on Ghostbusters Resurrection. Subject line is, "Should be canon." The text says, "After being disappointed with the latest Ghostbusters, I'm contented with my original Ghostbusters and this RPG radio drama. Laughs are genuine, Ghosts are real. Property damage is extensive. So sign the waiver and enjoy.
What a great quote.
Nice.
Love it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Morning Pink. I hope your name is nice and sexual.
Can be both.
Can be both. Usually is. All right. So a couple other Nerdy Show updates. One, we got some conventions you should be aware of. Liberty is coming to New York Comic Con this October, October 6th through the 9th. So if you're going to be at New York Comic Con or you're thinking about going to New York Comic Con, come out to New York Comic Con and meet the cast and creators of Liberty Critical Research, Liberty Tales from the Tower, and the kickstarted comic Liberty Deception, which will be there along with that comic's artist, Raymond Bermudez. They're at booth 1049. Meanwhile, in November, from the 11th to the 13th, Aaron and I will be in Durham, North Carolina at North Carolina Comic Con alongside some other exciting guests, including the Gerard Way and the entire crew of DC's new imprint, Young Animal, bringing back the vibe of classic Vertigo and giving DC a much-needed injection of weirdness.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. And also, I don't remember the dates for this, but I just found out about a crazy thing that Lefty Lucy's doing. She's going to be doing her nerd burlesque on a Comic Con that's on a cruise ship. It's leaving out of Tampa and is going to Key West and like Cozumel or someplace. And they have a crazy guest list. It's got Mark Waid, Frank Miller, the cast of Stranger Things, or like some of the cast of Stranger Things, Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, the creative team behind Batman. It's called Fan2C. So Fan, number two, and then S-E-A. It sounds crazy. So,
well, I wonder how they got an impressive lineup. Maybe they offered them a cruise.
Right? Oop, I bumped the table.
Somebody's been doing that the whole time. The whole time.
I think
it's
Briggs.
This monitor's been shaking.
I think it's Briggs. I think you've been tapping your foot and you've been shaking the whole
look,
thing.
Jiggling.
Wait.
You're a waffler.
Chugling.
You're a waffler, a chugler,
and a scholar.
Look,
I was going to say something really nice and, you know, uncalled for, but
one
yeah.
does not simply waffle.
Are you Sean Bean?
Actually, waffling pretty simple. You just pour the batter in the thing. I mean, close the lid. You wait a few minutes.
The price of entry is you have a waffle iron, unless of course you're, you know, like 11 and you love Eggos. Then you just eat them cold. I guess.
Out of the toaster. Yeah.
So I got one last little thing I want to say before, because we're kind of at time now, and you got to run off to a stream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
it's I'm already going to be late.
So I want to give a shout out to the Flintstones, the new comic book from DC Comics. We've talked in the past about the Hanna-Barbera line coming out from DC. We talked last week in a Nerdy Show Microsode about how I'm not that big a fan of Scooby Apocalypse, but the Flintstones comic is actually great. And it really is. I didn't expect this to be good. But then I saw the creative team and, oh my gosh. Okay. So it's written by Mark Russell, the guy who wrote Prez. And Prez was the number 17 in our top 20 nerdy things of 2015. It was a sci-fi story about the first teen president elected by Twitter. And it was incredible social satire. In this, Mark Russell takes his social satire and applies it to the first family of the human race, the Flintstones. And it reflects on modern society in a very painful and adult way. This is one of the best comics in the it is the best comic in the Hanna-Barbera line. It's one of the best comics DC's putting out right now. It's one of the best comics of the year, as far as I'm concerned.
So just going off of the cover, it looks like it takes place a while after the cartoon because that looks like a teenage Pebbles.
There's a teenage Pebbles in Bam Bam, yeah, actually. And the cartoon is non-canonical to this. This is completely it's completely its own thing. In fact, if you walk into a comic store and they don't have issue one, just buy issue two. They're kind of standalone stories. They do their own thing. I mean, they connect, but not in any kind of way that you couldn't just read issue two if you want to check it out. And in fact, issue two is my favorite. In issue two, it deals with God in the Flintstones universe, and Morp specifically. They go to the first church of the Animus, and they worship a bird who, as the story goes, led them to water. But then with the invent of crap, which is useless things that you buy, because it's the modern age, of course, you can get a record player where you have the exact kind of crane that they were worshiping as the Animus, leading them to water. And that crane plays records. And when they finally say, we can hear the word of our Lord, Morp. Here it is. We got him at the department store. So Morp plays a record, and it's just a bunch of awful booty music. So everybody gets disinterested with church. So they have to figure out, how are we going to get people back into church? And they pull in this adorable little pink elephant, And they're like, well, what does he want from us? What does God want? What does the new God want? He's like, well, he just wants you to be happy. And they go to Bone Depot, and they find out that he's just a vacuum cleaner.
I'm about to say, little elephants, aren't they just vacuum cleaners?
And it's, man, it's such a good book. It's really scathing, really dark. The Royal Order of Water Buffaloes, it's a veterans group because of a war that they fought.
Oh, gosh.
Issue 4, here's the summary for issue 4, which comes out in, I guess, probably November? October. What's this newfangled thing called marriage? And why are so many people willing to sacrifice the traditional sex cave for exclusive partnerships? Fred and Wilma leave Pebbles and Dino with the Rubbles for the weekend and head out to a marriage retreat to find out all they can about this new fad they've bought into.
So wait, Fred and Wilma aren't married?
Not in this book when it starts, but they're about to. The cover of issue 4 has all these cave people holding signs, like berating them for monogamy. Let me pull it up real quick, so I can read some of these signs here.
So Fred and Wilma don't even they live in a sex cave?
Well, that's a traditional caveman, you know. I mean, like if you're looking at the backgrounds of their house, you know, you're not seeing any straps or, you know, anything like that, toys, unless you count the mammoth tusks. So, you know, everything seems above board. But you know, that's just the lifestyle.
You have a very disproving look on your face,
just,
Doug.
You didn't have to. All you had to say was, "There's nothing in the comic to suggest." But you had to give examples that are off-panel.
I mean, we've all thought about mammoth tusks before once, right? All right,
so
no.
So
am I the only one?
The cover of Flintstones 4 is a bunch of people protesting, holding signs. Fred and Wilma walking happily forward to the viewer of the comic book, but they'll say, "Take a wife, not on your life." Monogamy destroys. A child deserves several fathers, about a dozen mothers. Let's see. Say I don't. No marriage for this cave dweller. So yeah, man, this book is great. Such wonderful, weird social commentary.
So what's Wilma's name if it's not Wilma Flintstone?
I don't know.
Ross.
Something fishy going on.
Read the book and find out. I don't know.
Yeah, Doug.
Yeah, this one actually looks, you know, going purely off the cover, interesting, whereas the Scooby-Doo just was very off-putting to me.
It's not great. Really, Flintstones and Future Quest, the only Hanna-Barbera books worth a damn. The other ones are interesting, but did not live up to the hype, unfortunately. So, unless we got any parting thoughts, that's going to be it for the episode.
All these squares make a circle.
All these squares make a circle. God, DBZ Abridged. Why have we not talked about that?
Because that would take a whole gigantic episode. That's why. DBZ Abridged is a life choice.
It is, and it's a wonderful one, and you need to dive in head first. And it's great. But that said, I have something. I don't know if anyone... I'm a fan of Jim Sterling. I watch a lot of his videos and whatnot on YouTube, but he did a Jimpression video where he plays a game, gives his, like, you know, thoughts about it, you know, going in completely blind. It's one called The Valley. It's an indie game, and I'm super hit or miss on indie games. I generally dislike them greatly, but there's obviously ones that are fantastic. But this one was really cool. He said that it feels like Sonic done right in a 3D perspective, kind of sort of.
Well, that's interesting.
Where you just play some random guy walking through this valley, and you come across this thing. It's called a leaf suit, and they don't say what the acronym means, but basically you can control life and death, where you can like revive a deer or an animal there, or give a tree to where it starts to, like, you know, have its foliage and whatnot back. But the interesting thing is, when you die, their suit resurrects you, but it extracts the life of everything around you.
Ooh, neat.
So basically the entire point of the game is, you want to, from what I understand, you want to restore life to the entire valley, but if you die too many times, you eventually kill the whole valley.
That sounds nothing like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, it has these no. It has these running segments in the game. Where the suit makes you very fast. You can jump very far. And the thing is, you run through the valley and whatnot. And literally, when he says, the title of the video basically is like a Sonic reference. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, like, okay, well, I don't get it. There's nothing. And then he puts on a suit and then he runs. And he's like, oh, wow, he's right. This does kind of look like what if they did a Sonic game correctly. You know, but there's a bit more going on than jumping.
And freeing animals, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
True, yeah. Freeing animals is a prerequisite of Sonic the Hedgehog, I'd like to think, anyway.
But, yeah, it looks... I've not played it.
So it's called neat. The Valley.
The Valley, yeah. And it's on, I think, on all platforms right now. It looks kind of cool.
One final thing before we go. probably one of the biggest news bites of the week, unless something weird happens, is the trailer was released for a Protoman thing, something called Light Up the Night, and a lot of information hasn't necessarily been disseminated yet as to what it is, but we all know what it is. In fact, we've all seen it.
We have, yes. Doug?
Mm-hmm.
You being the Mega Man dude or guy. I mean,
yeah.
Protoman are my literally the best and my favorite thing. But
yeah, they're my favorite nerd band, and I should probably start considering. I should start ranking them as among my favorite bands. Period.
You should. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
They're much more than nerd.
Yeah, they've crossed that a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, like I mean, they are legitimately my favorite band. Like without a doubt. Like even my dad, who he was just like, I'm like, hey, listen to this. And he, no idea anything Mega Man. He was like, wow, who are these guys? They're pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has them on his phone and he listens to them fairly regularly now.
So what it looks like is it looks like the trailer to a music video, and it is that, but it's also something more. It is actually a short film. It's like the extended length music videos that Michael Jackson did back in the day. It's like, not including the credits, it's like 13 minutes long.
Mm. Yeah, is it 13? I thought it was a little bit longer.
It's 16 with credits.
Okay.
And I should add, for Nerdy Show fans, you're definitely going to want to stay till the end of the credits.
Yep.
If you're not a longtime listener of Nerdy Show, it may have no relevance to you whatsoever, but there is a thing at the end of the credits that very specifically will make you feel something.
Yeah, it's super good.
So you've seen the clips of... In the trailer, you will have seen the clips of the band playing. There was they invited fans out to record a mysterious video a while ago, and it was them doing a concert thing. But for years now, they've actually been working on this short film as kind of a proof of concept of what a Protoman movie sort of thing could be like. And so you'll actually see scenes. It has a narrative. It has its own thing going on. Like it's not just a music video. It's a Protoman short film with a music video kind of mashed into it. But yeah, it's Light Up the Night is great, and there's much more details as to how to see the whole thing and all that, including a full review by me that is still to come. Keep an eye out for details, but considering that just dropped, we would be foolish not to announce it. And in fact, if you're in Austin, it is an official selection of the Austin Music Video Festival, and it's playing on Friday. So maybe get there. That's going to be the premiere of the video. If you want to see it, that's where it's at. That's also awesome. Nerdy Show's John Laval will be there. So find him and make him touch you on the belly.
He worked on that, right?
He did. He is a executive producer of that film.
Yeah, that's right. Laval, he did a thing.
He did do a thing.
Go rub his belly. Maybe he'll get some Laval luck. But then again, wait, that sounds terrible.
You should rub his belly, though. All right, so that's all we're going to say on it, and we'll say much more later on and be talking to the Protoman for sure about this pretty momentous step for them, because they're a very visually oriented band, and it's the first time they've done a hardcore video project like this. Well, that's all for this episode of Nerdy Show. Thanks so much for joining us. Taking us out is a track from a brand new band hitting the scene. They are called Boy Meets Robot. And they feature fun and funny nerd rock jams composed on guitar and Game Boy. Their first record, The Robots Will Kill Us All, comes out September 27th and features guest vocals by Megarand and Sarah Elay, the founder of the Escape Pod Science Fiction podcast. I've listened to the entire record. It's fantastic. If you like I Fight Dragons or think you might like I Fight Dragons or any kind of chip pop of that nature, you're going to love this record. So this is the first single off of it. It's the titular song, The Robots Will Kill Us All. And we actually have the entire album playing now on Nerdy FM, our nerd music online radio station at nerdy.fm, and also on apps for Apple and Android. So you should totally check us out. We got all these tracks in rotation, and here it is. The Robots Will Kill Us All. Check out the record September 27th.
Starbucks doesn't have Wi-Fi. Your latte doesn't have enough foam. And you're starting to feel angry because an OS update just crashed your phone. But there's no need to worry. Your troubles will melt away. against the wall in the robot. Kill us all. Sea levels are rising, animals are going extinct, and a couple billion people are living in poverty. But when Skynet goes active, there's a thermonuclear war. There won't be anyone left to care about those problems anymore. Drones are flying in the sky, targeting you with bullet size, and no one will hear your cry. Cause the robots will kill us all. So there's no use hiding in the shopping mall, and you'll be first against the wall when the robots kill us all.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.